It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast of Torso Ministry. We're glad to be with you this morning. We just had our first class. It was a wonderful class, almost 100 students, and we praise God for that. So good to be with you this morning. And at this time, I would say it's time for us to have a word of prayer. So let's kneel for prayer as for Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. We thank you for the love of God, that love, Lord, that passes knowledge. We thank you, Lord, for medical missionaries being taught and us all being taught by you. We ask that you will bless us as we study the word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our opening song, brothers and sisters, is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ from the Master's Chorale.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
time, brothers and sisters, and it is time now for us to talk about the ark. Now, we took a, really, it wasn't a detour, but when we were going through the book of Exodus, we wanted to show that when it started talking about this tabernacle that's about to be built, this sanctuary that's about to be built, that it was actually a copy. The tabernacle part was a copy of what's in heaven. So that's why we actually stopped and we went all the way through the book of Hebrews so we could see that there really is a tabernacle in heaven and that there really is a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And now we're going back to Exodus and we're picking it up in Exodus chapter 25. Let's read this together. Let's pray. Father, as we study this beautiful chapter, at least portions of it, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking, we're going to be talking primarily about the Ark of the Covenant, starting with verse 1 of chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take mine offering. You know, this is a powerful lesson. They actually built the sanctuary from the offerings of the people. And as the people gave the offerings, they brought them to Moses. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants us to be unselfish. He wants us to be givers, to the, not takers. Of course, he has a system of tithe and offering. Those who are living the truth, teaching the truth, ministering to the people, they are deserving of tithe, and then other aspects of God's work are supported with offering. And then there are just gifts, just helping the poor, helping those in need. It's a blessing. You can't beat God giving, as that song says. It is better to give than to receive. So God taught that. They had to willingly give in order. He called for, we need this, we need that. And the people brought it. We're going to see that. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. You hear that, brothers and sisters? That's verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You know, what I want us to dwell on is the fact that God, who is perfect, who is undefiled, who is matchless, who is pure, he wants to dwell with me. You know, that's an amazing concept, friends. He wants to dwell with you. Oh, what matchless love is that. According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So if God wants to dwell with us and he wanted a sanctuary, friends, then what should we be dwelling on when we go to church? Should we be dwelling on just trying to be like the world, to have the best drum players and guitar players and all of this kind of stuff, the same people who could play in the club, same kind of music brought into the church? Is that what we should be doing, brothers and sisters? This is a place where we meet with God. How do you dress where you go when you meet with God? Do you dress like you're going to the club? Do you dress like you're out in the world when you go to meet with God? Something to think about. Let them make me a sanctuary. Why? That I may dwell among us. God, who is righteous and perfect, wants to live with you, wants to dwell with you. Friends, that should cause us to want to be like him. That's the whole goal. It says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle. Remember, we read in Hebrews, the true tabernacle was in heaven. It said it in the book of Hebrews, the true tabernacle is what it calls it. And it says that Jesus was a minister of the sanctuary in heaven, of the true tabernacle, which God pitched and not man. Okay, so this is made after the pattern. They use things that we have access to here down on this earth, and they did a replica of what was done in heaven to always remind them that a Savior would come and that there was a sanctuary in heaven and that God's word comes from heaven and that prayers are answered from heaven and the inspiration to serve people is in heaven. And then this gospel that God has given us In the judgment, God will go through every name of his professed people to see if we appreciated the gospel. That's what the judgment is all about, friends. You can't appreciate the gospel if you're not living the gospel. You're not appreciating the gospel if you haven't asked forgiveness for your sins that the gospel would purify you from. You are not living the gospel. We're not living the gospel if we don't take advantage of the power given to us to overcome sin. All right, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Okay? So it was a little longer. Then it was taller and wider, and, I don't know, but that kind of reminds me of the shape of a bed. It reminds me of the fact that Jesus had to be laid down in a tomb. You know, your bed is longer than it is taller and wider. But, brothers and sisters, let's talk about that. Shittim wood. From all that we can gather, the shittim wood came from a tree that is very similar to a species of trees. Some of which we use medicinal herbs, like get medicinal herbs like senna. And some of them were tree-like, some of them were bush-like. It is believed that they got this from that region, for that's how they would get it, from that region where they were, Egypt, the desert, so on and so forth. And this particular wood called shittim wood would most likely have been what Jesus used as the burning bush. And so think about the burning bush. What was the burning bush a symbol of? It was a symbol of humanity, which is the wood, with the fire of divinity, but it didn't burn. Okay? That was to let Moses know Jesus is going to come, and he's going to clothe his divinity with humanity. Okay? And so that bush didn't burn. So the consuming fire, if it was just divinity, it would have just consumed it. But it was to let Moses know that at a future time, Jesus would come. He would be 100% God, but he would be 100% man. So wood is a representation of humanity, particularly shittim wood, representative of the humanity of Christ, because it was most likely what was available at that time, and the burning bush was in that region, brothers and sisters, that type of wood. All right, so notice that we're going to look at how the Bible teaches that wood represents humanity, particularly the humanity of Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's made of wood. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we were healed. It was Christ's humanity that died on a tree. Wood represents the humanity of Christ and could even be the sufferings thereof, because divinity can't suffer like that, not in that physical way. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, where it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It was his humanity that hung on a tree. I wrote here, shittim wood was a desert tree that was common in the region. It was most likely the burning bush, which symbolized divinity enshrouding humanity. And so, my friends, that's shittim wood, all right? They shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2.5 cubits. And I gave you the measurement. Verse 11, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. Shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about it. So now we've got this shittim wood, but you don't see the wood. Why? Because it's covered with gold. Well, why would God do that? If the humanity of Christ, wouldn't we want to see the humanity of Christ? Yes, but the humanity of Christ was what was really in the earth. He suppressed his divinity, but God wanted him to know that it was divine nature that for us, it's God's divine nature covering our human nature that makes us to be saved, brothers and sisters. So gold represents divinity. It represents righteousness. It represents law-keeping, friends. That's what gold represents. And notice that you'll find that it's going to be tried in the fire. But let's find some gold scriptures. Job chapter 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, when he hath tried me, when you understand how gold is made, gold is heated up with fire, brothers and sisters, and all the impurity is, it doesn't destroy, the fire doesn't destroy the gold. All the impurity is melted out, and then you're left with fine gold, brothers and sisters. You see, God wants to burn out all the sin in our lives. He wants us to overcome point by point all the various issues of our lives. So he gave us an ark. He gave us a sanctuary to teach us the plan of redemption. And you see, the very throne of God is a combination of divinity and humanity, because Christ is there, and he's 100% human, and he's 100% divine. We cannot explain that, brothers and sisters. You're not 100% divine. We can be a partaker, the Bible says, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust in 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 4. But the point being made is Christ is 100% man and 100% God. That's so beautiful, friend. Gold is tried. Look at Revelation 3:18. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See, people believe that once they're saved, they're always saved. They just don't want to be tried in the fire. No, you've got to overcome some things, brothers and sisters. There are temptations that we must overcome. Now, they're not too hard if we just don't put ourselves in temptation's way. If we just pray and seek God and we are constantly in his word, temptations will come, but we will have victory at every step. But if we, brothers and sisters, tend to just parlay with the devil, play with him, talk to him, it wouldn't be so bad to try a little bit of it. I wonder what it would be like over there if I did that. Oh, man, that looks good, you know. I'm not doing it. I'm just looking at it. You know, we come up with all these excuses to expose ourselves to sin. And as we get exposed to sin, the temptation, the power of that sin becomes stronger and stronger. Then it just seems like an overmastering temptation. If we just wouldn't even begin the process, we'd have much more power, brothers and sisters. But the point is, it's gold tried in the fire. There is a struggle. There are temptations that we have to fight against. It's not just, okay, I give my heart to God. Okay, life's just going to be a place I just skate on into heaven. No, there's a battle. We're at war. We're going to fight against the devil, friend. So how was Christ's divinity tried in the fire? When the following verse tells us that God cannot be tempted to do evil, because Christ was made of, you know, we say this was symbolizing Christ, right? So you would naturally ask the question, well, how could his divinity be tried in the fire? Because gold is tried in the fire. We're saying that's divinity. How could that be when look at what James 1:13 says. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God can't be tempted with evil. So the divinity of Christ could not be tempted with evil. But let me tell you what it could be tempted with. When the humanity of Christ was on this earth, beset by those who were trying to kill him, persecute him, his own people, it took everything Jesus had and all the dependence on his Father not to let divinity come out and destroy them. He suppressed his divinity. Now, he can't be tempted with evil, but it would not have been evil for him to say, I'm just going to go back to heaven. Christ did everything he did voluntarily, brothers and sisters. It wasn't an evil for him to say, okay, I'm not going to save Shalom. He's just too sinful. He could have gone back to heaven, friends, and he did not. He did not allow his divinity come back in and take him back to heaven. He endured the cross, despising the shame, hung on a cross naked for you and me, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, pierced in his side after he had died, of course, in his humanity. But divinity could not die, friends, and all of that, his divinity at any point in time. There's a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He didn't even have to call angels, brothers and sisters. I like that song, but he didn't even have to call the angels. He could have just decided that his divinity would infuse his humanity and take him right on back up to heaven, and then and then heaven would have still been a secure place, and the earth would have been lost forever, and it would have been burnt up, and it would have been just one little speck of sand on a seashore of worlds that would have been lost forever. Beings could easily say, why are we spending time on that when we just have all this universe? You see, because that would have made Satan a winner. God does not want Satan to be a winner. The plan of redemption can save us from sin to a point where we will be closer to God than any other being in the whole universe. Isn't that amazing? Those who have sinned will be closer to God than angels who have never sinned. Those who have sinned will be closer to God than the billions of potential beings, trillions of potential beings on other planets, brothers and sisters, beautiful beings. They love God. They've never sinned. We will be closer to God. So that shows us something. If we're going to be closer to God, should we be getting closer to him now? Friends, how much time do we spend in our Bibles and in prayer and talking to the Lord? How much time do we do spend in that, and versus how much time we spend on YouTube or Netflix or Hulu or whatever else they have out there? Friends, we've got to be like him, but we've got to behold him in order to be like him. So God can't be tempted with evil, but there was a great temptation for Christ to just let his divinity come out and just save him from the evil people he was around. All right, reading on. So it says, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. You see, when you have divinity mixed with humanity, that is royalty. Isn't that something? And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof, and two rings shall be on the one side and two rings on the other side. And thou shalt make staves, that's staffs, of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. That's the Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters. And thou shalt make a mercy seat. First of all, those staves were like staffs. So think about a box that has two, like a box that has two staves or staffs on it. So two people could pick it up on this side, and two people could pick it up on that side, and they could carry it. Okay? That represents God with us. Wherever you are, God is with you, friend. No matter what situation you get into, if you want God with you and you didn't put yourself in harm's way, and even if you did, but you really, really want to get out of harm's way, you can be in a crack house and have divinity come and deliver you, brothers and sisters, if you want to be delivered. There's no place God can't go if you want him to get you out of a mess. But don't keep putting yourself back in it. He's not going to keep coming back in. So the staffs carried the ark, and that showed that God will be with us wherever we need to go. Wherever he sends us, he will be there. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Now, that didn't have any wood on it. The pure gold was a mercy seat, friend. Mercy that would come and save us, not because we're worthy, not because we deserve it. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims of the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Now, brothers and sisters, we're told in a book called Patriarchs and Prophets that it's all right to speculate as long as our speculation does not disagree with the word of God. We do read in Ezekiel chapter 28 that the devil, Lucifer, was not the devil at the time, it was Lucifer, was a covering cherub. We do also read that Jesus was in the form of an angel. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but simply said, the Bible says, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael the archangel. A lot of people don't believe Michael the archangel is Jesus, and the only reason why they don't believe Michael the archangel is Jesus is that Jehovah's Witnesses believe it, and they don't believe Jehovah's Witnesses are right. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses might not be right on everything, brothers and sisters, but a doctrine is not wrong because Jehovah's Witnesses believe it. It's wrong if it's not in the Bible. And you might think, well, why would you degrade Christ to an angel? Christ became a man, and the Bible says that man was made a little lower than the angel. So you have God, you have angels, you have men. If Christ can become a man, then he could have been in the form of an angel, brothers and sisters. I believe that he was. I believe that it is highly possible that Christ was one of those cherubims. He was actually the Son of God, but he was in that form, and he looked across from Lucifer. And then when God the Father wanted to make a special announcement that Jesus wasn't a mere angel, that he was his son, Lucifer got jealous. Now, we know Lucifer got jealous, and I'm just telling you that I believe that they did not always know, because as you read inspiration, an announcement was made. Why would they have to make an announcement as to who he was if they already knew who he was? An announcement was made as to who Jesus was by the Father, brothers and sisters. And then the angels worshiped him at that time. Okay, they didn't know. And so I believe that because there was this private communication, that was Lucifer's test. And once he found out who Jesus was, he wanted to be that. He wanted to be like the Most High, and he got upset, even though he had a very high position. They would send him to administrate all the messages to all the rest of the angels. He was in charge of the angelic host under the Father and the Son. Brothers and sisters, that's powerful. And so, but he wasn't content. You know, a lot of times, sometimes we think because we give people gifts, that's going to make them content. Sometimes the more you give a selfish person, the more they want, brothers and sisters. And I'm not talking about people in need. I'm not talking about that, so don't take that the wrong way. I'm talking about a selfish person. I'm talking about a person who is just gorging and wanting everything. When you just, you can just, you know, it could be a, you might be a wealthy man or a wealthy woman, and you marry somebody, and they married you for your wealth. And you know, you buy them a car, you buy them this and that and all the bling bling, and they just can't ever get enough. That's what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. We've got to be content. So Lucifer did not understand contentment, and even though he had a very high position, he wanted more. You know, that's what's wrong with the world today, friends. We want more. That's what's wrong with the rich people. They just want more. They got more than they could even spend in a lifetime, but they want more, okay? And so we've got to be like Jesus and be content. And so this mercy seat was of pure gold, just full of righteousness. And inside of that chest, inside of that ark, was the Ten Commandments. Because remember, righteousness is the Ten Commandments. Right doing is obeying God's Ten Commandments. The Bible says, all thy commandments are righteousness. Let me find that verse for you. I can't remember exactly where that one is. Let me find it for you. Okay, let me just go here. And that'll be where we wrap it up. All thy commandments are righteousness. Psalm 119:172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Notice what it says. It says, Psalm 119:151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalm 119:86, all thy commandments are faithful. And then Psalm 119:6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Brothers and sisters, what is the main commandment that people are keeping today? It's the Sabbath, because the Roman Catholic Church changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. The whole world is living in violation. What does God want you to do? To teach the world God's plan. Does he want you to be worshiping on the Sabbath, friends, and not worshiping on a day that would give homage to the papacy? Just pray about it. That's all we ask. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for divinity in the gold and Christ's perfect humanity in the wood and how they merge together with divinity covering humanity, showing us that we can be made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And we can be covered and be perfect as in our sphere through Christ. We pray, Father, that we will remain humble and that you will bless us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, listen, I want to ask a special prayer request. I have a couple of friends, and they're in jail, but they were arrested falsely. Their trials are coming up, and they don't have money to hire a good attorney, so they haven't even hardly seen their public defenders, and they have to go to trial. We want to ask God to get them out of jail. We want to ask God for a positive ending for them, that they might come out and work for God. They just want to work for the Lord, my friends, and they were falsely arrested, and we want to pray for them. Would you join me in prayer for them, please? Just keep them in prayer. I think the trial is September. If you just keep prayer for my dear friends, okay? All right, we're going to be transitioning now with the torso song. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. To talk about a wonderful topic from Sister Lenny, and it is selection of food.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. if your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. At this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Sister Lenny will now share with us the selection of food.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Selection of food. Those foods should be chosen that best supply the elements needed for building up the body. In this choice, appetite is not a safe guide. Through wrong habits of eating, the appetite has become perverted. Often it demands food that impairs health and causes weakness instead of strength. We cannot safely be guided by the customs of society. The disease and suffering that everywhere prevail are largely due to popular errors in regard to diet. In order to know what are the best foods, we must study God's original plan for man's diet. He who created man and who understands his needs appointed Adam his food. Behold, he said, I have given you every herb-yielding seed and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree-yielding seed. To you it shall be food. Genesis 1:29. Upon leaving Eden to gain his livelihood by tilling the earth under the curse of sin, man received permission to eat also the herb of the field, Genesis 3:18. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods, prepared in as simple and natural a manner as possible, are the most helpful and nourishing. They impart a strength, a power of endurance, a vigor of intellect that are not afforded by a more complex and stimulating diet. But not all foods wholesome in themselves are equally suited to our needs under all circumstances. Care should be taken in the selection of food. Our diet should be suited to the season, to the climate in which we live, and to the occupation we follow. Some foods that are adapted for use at one season or in one climate are not suited to another. So there are different foods best suited for persons in different occupations. Often food that can be used with benefit by those engaged in hard physical labor is unsuitable for persons of sedentary pursuits or intense mental application. God has given us an ample variety of healthful foods, and each person should choose them from the things that experience and sound judgment prove to be best suited to his own necessities. Persons who have accustomed themselves to a rich, highly stimulating diet have an unnatural taste, and they cannot at once relish food that is plain and simple. It will take time for the taste to become natural and for the stomach to recover from the abuse it has suffered. But those who persevere in the use of wholesome food will, after a time, find it palatable. Its delicate, delicious flavors will be appreciated, and it will be eaten with greater enjoyment than can be derived from unwholesome dainties. And the stomach, in a healthy condition, neither fevered nor overtaxed, can readily perform its task. In order to maintain health, a sufficient supply of good, nourishing food is needed. This morning's health segment is coming from the Ministry of Healing under Diet and Health, page 122. To 123. Thank you so much. May God bless you today from head to toe and help you select food better for your health. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. We have Michigan on Facebook. We have Tennessee. We have South Carolina. We have North Carolina. We have, I believe that is Virginia. Not sure. And we have Georgia. Let me just check one thing real quickly because we've got somebody that's been listening more lately. We thank God for her. Yeah, that is Virginia. Praise God. All right, friends, on the call we have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Delaware again. We have Michigan, we have Oklahoma, we have Ohio again, we have Ohio again, we have Oklahoma again, and we have Georgia. Phone lines are open. If anybody wants to share, just press *6. On the call, we have about 16 minutes. I'll go ahead and read the wonderful things on Facebook. We have a good morning from Brother Peyton. A good morning to everyone from Sister Glorious. We have from Sister Vicky a good morning. And that's all we have. We have an amen from our Brother Carl. If anybody has a comment or question, so Friends, we are teaching a class virtually. It's been a wonderful blessing. Keep the class and the students in prayer. We had our really second class, but it was the first one where we were going through the system. The first one was foundational. That foundational message is on our website, torso.org. Go listen to it. You can also listen to the Sabbath sermon, which was a prelude because it talks about skin and the plan of redemption. And so our next lesson will be on the skeletal system this coming Sunday. That's for students only. So if you didn't get in this particular school, you can get in the next one by the grace of God, or it'll be online. But it was a blessing. It was truly a blessing to be able to learn and share. We learn as we share. All right, friends, there's no one, so we'll go ahead and have closing prayer. Yes, please. Sister Lily?
I just want to continue to request special prayer for my friend Brian. He's not doing well. He's on a ventilator now. He has COVID. He had two brain surgeries back-to-back Saturday evening. And so I'm just asking that you continue to pray for him, pray for his wife, who is just very upset. And I'm also going to want to encourage those who have the book, The Ministry of Healing, that you would read the whole section, because it is very it will be very beneficial to you. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, and we want to remember my friends that are in jail in New York, that the Lord would free them and that all will go well. Let's pray. Okay, wait a minute. Before we pray, we do have, because we have plenty of time, we do have someone on the call, and we'll take that call right now. Good morning, sister. God bless you.
Good morning, and thank the Lord for his grace to wake up to see another day.
Yes,
and
right.
I woke up a little late, didn't hear the message, and I know I missed the blessing. But I, too, want to lift up a sister in Christ that, you know, on another call last night, she need urgent prayers. She's in the hospital. She went in last Sunday because she fell and hit her head, and she did wind up needing stitches, and they kept her because her blood pressure was high. And then it just been a progression from not only stitches, blood pressure being high, but wind up needing to go to ICU, moved from ICU to needing to go to from ICU to a coma, to a feeding tube, to having, you know, a lot of little mini strokes. So that was the last report from last night on her. And her name is Sister Marcia, and she's been a faithful sister to a lot of, you know, God's people for a long time. So I just want to lift her up and pray, and her husband, that, you know, they have grown children, they have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So she's been the rock and support of her family. So thank you for that, for praying for her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, sister. Let's pray. Thanks. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for your love for us. We thank you for being so great a God as you are. For everything we look at around us that you do, we can say it is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We want to praise you for all of your mercy, for your power, your grace, your strength. Lord, we know that there's only two things you cannot do, and that's fail and you cannot lie. We want to lift before you two people, and they have a similar circumstance. They are sick. They're in the hospital. We want to remember Brian. We want to remember Marcia. Father, they have spouses that love them. They're in critical condition. Without your intervention, they will probably not make it. So we pray that you will please intervene. And for Brian, help him through his COVID experience, that you will get him off the ventilator and help him to live, if it is your perfect will. Father, for Marcia, the same, we pray that you will bless her to get off of those things that would rather be healed from those maladies that have affected her brain and that have led her to down this path. We believe it may have been through the injury and just the progression of things. It might have even been hospital error. But we pray that you will move in her behalf. And Father, for my dear friends in New York, I pray that you will bless them, heal them, or deliver them, rather, from the bondage that man has placed upon them for doing right. I pray, Lord, that you will please work in a mighty way, for you are a God that is stronger than any judge, any jury, any courtroom. And we just pray that you will work a miracle. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord by the Master's Chorale.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.